Browns Wire Podcast. This is your host, Josh Keatley. With me is Donovan James. Donovan, we have a very special episode today, one that you constructed all by your lonesome and texted me, and I thought it was a great idea. First things first, before we dive into the good stuff, the fun stuff, did you watch Josh Gordon make his debut in the Fan Control Football League this past Saturday?
I did not, but I listened to Barstool on the way to work every morning, and I listened to Part of My Take, and I heard about it.
I didn't watch He's it. A freak, man. He's a freak, dude. First offensive drive, he was in there. He scored a touchdown, and then he had the walk-off Hail Mary touchdown. It's a damn shame that Johnny Manziel was hurt, because it would have been Johnny Manziel throwing those passes.
Who threw it?
I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh. Come on, fan.
Sorry.
On. You're the. What's the league called?
Fan-controlled football. There's only a couple quarterbacks that are really – Quentin Flowers is in it.
FCF.
Quentin Flowers is in it, and DeAndre Francois were in it. It's I can't remember the name of the guy. It's the guy that Johnny Manziel was sharing time with during the first week. But
Okay. I remember seeing it. I did watch some of the first highlights of the first game. I didn't see Gordon, but, I mean, I love Gordon. He's one of the best –
He's good, man.
One of the most physically gifted receivers ever, but I mean, probably one of the most wasted talents of all time in NFL history, too. But I mean, yeah, he could have been Hall of Famer.
There's a lot of guys like Lawrence Phillips. Lawrence Phillips would have been great, but I think he murdered somebody. So
he died too.
Yeah, killed himself in prison. That's pretty wasted talent too.
I mean, for maybe like this generation, like I think everyone remember Josh Gordon is like one of the really wish he had a turned out, you know, had a fall.
Marcus Ross was up there. Vince Young was definitely up there.
Yeah. I feel like those guys didn't want to work though. Gordon was just had like
wasn't that the same deal though? You don't want to do because the drug test. Here's the deal: when it's coming. You just have to stop smoking pot for like what, a month in advance or something. I mean, Le'Veon Bell was talking about it. It's not, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know.
I put it in the same category.
Pretty much. It's just lack of effort. So same category. Lack of effort.
Yeah.
Lack of want. Lack of drive.
Lack of drive. Lack of want. That's absolutely right.
Somebody said there's no blunt worth millions of dollars. That's true. I don't know who said that. I think it was Pat Forty. I know people hate Pat Forty, but I like Pat Forty. Shout out Pat Forty. Pat Forty.
Wow, this sounds like some kind of a
Pat Ford. He's a college basketball expert.
Yeah, I'm just I was being a douche. I was like, it sounds like something Nostradamus would say, you know.
Oh yeah, true.
Very, very. It's words to live by. Yeah, man, we got a cool show, which is funny because so Donovan and I got two things going on. One is this week is the first week for the March Madness bracket of the 60. Would you pick 32 quarterbacks?
Yeah, 32 quarterbacks.
So Donovan picked what he thought was the 32 best quarterbacks in Cleveland Browns history, and he's going to release them on a bracket starting today.
But I wanted to switch it up. I wanted to do. I'm still doing 32 in the same format. I just wanted to do for Twitter purposes by group. So if y'all have ever watched like the FIFA World Cup or any soccer stuff or any Olympics, basketball Olympics, they do it by group, like group A, group B, so on and so forth. And then the top two advance, and then you do group B the next time. So what I wanted to do this week was group A, if that's cool. Which is four in a group. So one versus 4 seed, two versus 3 seed. Put them on Twitter since there's 4 slots and then let those people decide too and kind of do that.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. It sounds like a great idea.
And then 32 quarterbacks is too many to name on one podcast. Four would be the listeners would probably find that a little bit easier and better to listen to, I feel like.
I thought you were releasing the whole bracket today, but you only want to release the first group today on this podcast?
First group today.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's dive in. What's the first group? This is actually cool. This is really a cool idea because
we're doing first group before we do the Browns draft.
Oh, we're gonna we'll end with the draft. Do you want to do the draft first so I don't steal your secrets?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the draft first. But this is cool because we Donovan and I have been planning this for a couple weeks now, and it just so happens that we planned the week where the Cleveland Browns throwbacks are leaked. So it's kind of lines up right, pretty accurate. Did anybody else think that they kind of look like the old FUBU jerseys though? You saw it, right?
Yeah,
they do a little bit, right?
A little bit, yeah. But I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I owned a couple FUBU jerseys.
Did you? Okay, so. I know I had one 05 FUBU jersey, but
they were. They were all 05.
Were they all 05? Yeah.
I think they were. Yeah, I had one that was. I don't know. I just thought they were cool. When you're a kid, you don't really know. You're just grabbing cool, jerseys. Yeah. Yeah, they looked cool. You know, I think I had the FUBU jersey and the FUBU shoe. Those are both from Walmart. I think I had like the Shaq shoes too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had those.
Yeah. Plus, but anyways, yeah. Let's go. So who gets the first pick?
You. It's your podcast.
Nah, dude. We gotta do it. We gotta do it right. Rock paper scissors for it.
Oh, live there. Rock paper scissors. Okay, pop.
Yeah, dude. All right, let's go. Are we going on three?
Yeah, on three.
Okay. One. You're frozen up. You're frozen up. Okay.
All right. I'm telling you, just go first, dude. Just go first.
No, dude. No. It's going to be live on air, rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Shoot.
Rock. All right. So I got the first pick. Okay.
I always pick scissors first.
Donovan, good. Thanks for the tip. Donovan, for those that are listening on our much more popular MP3 format, rock, paper, scissors is not the most dynamic contest for MP3 listeners. But Donovan came up with scissors. I came up with the rock. So I will be picking first. And for my first pick, I will be taking Automatic Otto Graham, who was the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns from 1946 to 1955 with three championships under his belt and four MVPs? Three MVPs.
Looking it up right now. Three.
Yeah, three MVPs. Took the Cleveland Browns to the championships nine seasons in a row? Seven seasons? I don't know, something insane like that. Absolute freak, came from Northwestern. Was the leader of the T-formation, Paul Brown offense with Marion Motley, Dante Lavelli, Max Speedy. This is an automatic gimme, bro. The history of the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks, I feel like there's a little drop off. There's obviously some great ones, you know, Bernie Kosar, Brian Sight, but Otto Graham, it kind of hits that next echelon, man. Do you know what I mean? NFL Hall of Famer. It's hard to find and replicate that kind of success. So I'm going to go with Otto Graham there. I'm going to write in my little list.
I'm writing down too. Otto Graham is your quarterback or your number one overall pick. Mine is going to be Joseph Hayden Thomas, Joe Thomas, offensive tackle.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, man, I had to go Joe Thomas. Not the lean Joe Thomas now, he looks better, but the old Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas is just a perfect offensive tackle, man. I mean, he had really no weaknesses to me in his game. Think about Joe Thomas. You're talking about, you know, a top five pick that lived up to the hype out of Wisconsin. 10-time Pro Bowler, only played 11 years, retired a little
early. My God.
Six-time first team All-Pro, all-rookie team, the Outland Trophy winner, if you want to go back. Three-time Big Ten winner, Browns Ring of Honor. He started every game, played every game. He's the top 10 offensive lineman of all time to me.
He was going to be my next pick. He was going to be my next pick. I completely get it.
Well, I know who you're picking next. It's pretty easy, I think, right?
You don't know who I'm picking next. For those that don't know, Donovan and I are just doing – I should probably tell people – we got so excited. Donovan and I are only drafting offense this week, defense next week. 11 guys on offense. We're going to fill out our starting lineup, and then we're going to rock and roll on our defensive side moving forward. So that's a great pick. Joe Thomas is a great pick. The reason he was not my number one pick is because there are some awesome offensive tackles left on the board. You think you know who I'm going to take? Who do you think I'm going to take? You want me to just say it and see if you're right?
Yeah.
Lou Groza, the toe, baby. So not only am I getting one of the most reliable kickers in NFL history,
no, that's not dynamic, who I thought you were going to take at all.
I'm getting a dynamic Ohio State graduate, offensive tackle, guy who was a member of the Cleveland Browns from 1946 to 1959, then came back from 1961 to 1967, four-time champion, nine-time Pro Bowler, NFL MVP, NFL Hall of Famer. Now, this pick, although he's my starting offensive tackle, it does deserve an asterisk because Luke Rosa stopped playing offensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns, or he stopped starting for at offensive tackle in 1959. So 1959, he stopped playing offensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns. So that whole back end of his career, he just played kicker. So that is something to monitor. That is, you know, a little asterisk there.
You have a kicker and a tackle, basically. So you kind of knock out positions like that.
Well, we're not drafted kickers, but I mean, are we?
No, we don't need to do all that. But he, I'm just saying, I was joking. Yeah, I thought Jim Brown was going to be your pick. Like, I thought that was like pretty obvious.
That's right. I'm an idiot. No, I'm picking
Jim Brown.
That's all yours, dude. Again, yeah, I mean, that's. I'll let you give a description.
I don't need to talk about Jim Brown if you're a Browns fan. I mean,
that's self-explanatory.
Yeah, man. I mean, 9 Pro Bowls, NFL champion, 3 MVPs, Rookie of the Year, 5-time rushing champ, All-Decade Team. He's one of the top 50 players of all time. Still, he retired in 65.
Made the Pro Bowl every year of his career, I think.
Yeah, every year. Yeah, he finished he's just a man. Jim Brown's just a man. And it's funny, both of my guys retired early, so I won't have this team for too long, I guess. Joe Thomas and Jim Brown, but I'll have them for at least 8 years, eight to 9 years, and after that, I don't know. But yeah, he retired. You know, pretty good at acting too. Bill made me watch some of his movies because he was saying how good. Bill's like, yeah, he's one of the most underrated actors of all time.
Really?
So yeah. I watched some of them. They're pretty good. I mean, they're old as hell, but they're pretty good. For that.
Yeah, so that's a great pick. The reason that Jim Brown didn't jump off the sheet for me is because there are some definite off-field issues. That is for sure. Of course, his spread and play girl makes up for it, though.
Oh, man. Look, see, the leg.
Joking. Just joking. Domestic violence, not funny. But the reason I didn't take him is because unlike the quarterback position – the Browns have a very rich history of running backs. They have a lot of quality running, a lot of great running backs that are up there in the upper echelon NFL history. So I feel like I can get somebody later on that's going to be just fine in my offense. I feel like the drop down from Otto Graham and Lou Groza is more steep than Jim Brown. But that brings up my next pick. And after this, I think you're going to have a hard time finding offensive tackle. Dick Schaffrath, another Ohio State grad. This is actually the offensive tackle that took over for Lou Groza. Once the Cleveland Browns drafted Dick Schaffrath, Lou Groza moved to kicker permanently. This is a guy that Paul Brown, again, with his Ohio State connections, deep Ohio connections, he drafted him, nicknamed him the Mule, was played for the Browns from 1959 to 1971, 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro. What's not to like? So that's it. I got my two bookends, bro.
Yeah, and you're building that O-line up, man. I like it.
Like I said, the gap, you're going to have a hard time finding the next – I don't know what you're going to do from there.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Let's see. All right, I know who I want to pick next. Then I gotta go with Mr. Myles Garrett.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Wait. We're only doing offense, dude.
Oh shit! Sorry. My bad.
I was wondering. I was like, why don't I have? Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Well,
I know who you're going to take for the first pick of the defensive side.
Yeah, I should get first defensive pick though, since I didn't get the first pick for the.
That's fair.
Nah,
we can do that. That's
okay,
fair.
Okay. So not Myles Garrett. Man, I was like, I got my tackle, my running.
But
my
edge, can I ask you,
edge rusher?
Have I? Yeah, no shit. Have I? I don't think I've taken anybody you wanted though, because your first pick was going to be Joe Thomas, right?
Yeah, it was going to be Joe Thomas.
And your second pick was going to be Jim Brown, right?
Yep.
So far we haven't overlapped.
Never thought about picking any of the guys you have.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing because I thought I was –
Well, Otto Graham always said I thought about picking them, but, like, I'm going new school. Not too new. Well, we'll see. But
maybe we should have made it, like, the last 50 years or something. Maybe I went a little too deep.
No, it's fine.
When you start,
I know every player you like because I've researched it a little bit. But I mean, there's probably a few players I don't know as well. But
still, no, I was more referencing the fact of like, you know, when we start drafting guys that ran in the T formation offense. And of course, Jim Brown was forever. I mean, he's got an NFL championship. He doesn't have a Super Bowl championship, so he's old too. So.
Okay. Yeah, I can't be defensive player. Sorry, that's my mistake, and I just said the S word on your show or our show, I guess.
Stud,
exactly. Okay. I will go. I'm gonna go with Baker Mayfield. At quarterback.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I mean, I think Baker Mayfield, once all said and done, he won't be better than Otto Graham. Because he's not, I mean, but his stats going to be better. Because
you're going to take.
Yeah,
I'm going to. I'm sorry.
He's the best quarterback available. He's better than Bernie Kosar. Better than Brian Sipes.
Bro, my for those that are listening and not watching, my jaw is just
dropped,
dude.
See, people think I like don't like Baker Mayfield that much, which is funny because I love Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's so young, man. Like, he's gonna be really good. It's just taking some time. He's gonna be a top five quarterback in the NFL one day, and he could be an MVP type guy.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but he's not right now. And there's guys that have
he's just more talented, very
impressive resumes that have taken the Browns deep into the playoffs. That were a little bit respect there.
No, but Sipe and Kosar are the really like only other quarterbacks that are really just wowing me more than obviously Otto Graham. But you already took him. But, like, Sipe was great, but I mean, I'm looking at what Sipe did. Like, his numbers are good, but they're not. I mean, Baker Mayfield's going to put.
I mean, I think that there was a couple.
And I don't even go off.
Plum led the NFL in passing yardage when he was with the Browns. There's just a couple guys there that
I don't know.
You know, I'm and going, again, we're talking about guys that you and I have rarely seen. I mean, honestly, Otto Graham, Jim Brown, we've only seen the highlights. To be real, you've actually watched Baker Mayfield from get go. So I get that connection. Another weird reason:
Baker and Jim Brown and Joe Thomas on offense. I'm happy about it.
I like what I'm doing, but here I'll if you're gonna hand this to me, I'll go ahead and take it. Give me Paul Warfield, baby. 1964, Cleveland Brown from 1964 to 1969, and from 1976 to 1977. I'm taking another Buckeye, dude. This is my third former Buckeye, bias. But this is 100%. I'll admit it, 100%. But back in the good old days, the Browns would take Buckeyes, dude, because Paul Brown was the coach. Dude, actually, Paul Warfield was not selected by Paul Brown, but whatever. So Paul Warfield, not only was he a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Miami Dolphins, but he also did a lot off the field too. He was one of the first guys that really stuck it to the ownership, and one of the reasons why you see these large contracts now. He left the NFL for one season because he went to the World Football League, to the Toronto Northmen, which was actually – we've talked about this before. The Toronto Northmen actually were never to be. They were the Memphis Southmen because the CFL, the Canadian government, would let that World Football League go into Canada. So it ended up being the Memphis Southmen. So it was him, Jim Kick, and Larry Sanka sticking it to the ownership. And then he obviously came back to the Browns. So Paul Warfield, another NFL Hall of Famer. So far I've gotten three Hall of Famers on my roster, Donovan.
All right. I mean, you're right. I've got three, because I'm about to pick another one, and then Baker Mayfield. I don't know if he's not a Hall of Famer yet.
But well, yeah,
maybe one day. My pick is Ozzie Newsome Jr.
Wow, that's a good one.
And he's in the Hall of Fame as GM, front office man and a player. But no, I mean, Ozzie Newsome, tight end. I just want to have a safety blanket, and you know, like Baker Mayfield has three tight ends right now. Well, now he's got one of the best tight ends of all time, Ozzie Newsome, and one of the most physical players of all time. And really, like, I know Ozzie Newsome before my time, but I've actually like went back and watched Ozzie Newsome. That was one of my grandpa's favorite players too. And just I think it was 6'3", 230 for tight end back then. He was a monster, man. He was like one of the first receiving tight ends. He caught a lot of passes. Made four Pro Bowls, I believe. See here, all 80s decade team, all American, obviously at Alabama. So, and you know, he's really known for picking Alabama players with the Ravens. He was so a two-time champion as well. So, yeah, I'll go Ozzie Newsome, give my quarterback a safety blanket.
Dude, that's a really good pick because I don't really know what to do at tight end from there. But I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to go ahead and take another wide receiver, Dub Jones, who played with the Cleveland Browns from 1948 to 1955, a three-time NFL champion, a two-time Pro Bowler. Dub Jones was actually drafted by – obviously, I don't remember this – like some weird Seattle team that doesn't exist anymore. And then Paul Brown, he broke like his clavicle or something crazy because Bill Willis, another former Cleveland Brown, tackled him so hard. Paul Brown traded for him, moved into a defensive backfield. He sucked, was not good defensive back. So Paul Brown used him in the backfield as a running back. Well, he runs that tight T formation. He was such a good wide receiver and he was such a good athlete that he basically was the first flanker. A lot of people credit him for the reason why the wide receiver position even exists. Before him, your classic wide receiver was just your tight end. It was just basically a tight end and a three-point stance. So Dub Jones, who with Paul Brown's guidance, created and invented the flanker and wide receiver position.
You and Dub Jones, I'm surprised by all your picks. I didn't know you were so old school, man. I like it, though. It's different.
Dude, how can you not?
It's different than I thought you would go. Different from what I thought you would go. Excuse me. All right. Look at my list here. Let's see what we
got. I'm sorry. The Miami Seahawks is who drafted Dub Jones, and then he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers before Paul Brown made the move to trade for him. So I apologize.
No, you're fine. You're fine. All right.
Just wanted to get my facts straight.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Man, this is tough.
I'm gonna pull up the old Wikipedia.
There's so many defense players I want. I forgot we're only doing offensive. Okay, I know who I want. I'm going to go with Alex Mack.
Oh, damn, that's a good one.
The center here. Again, Hall of Famer, maybe, probably not.
Dude.
But, I mean.
That was my next pick.
He started every game he's played in 180, I believe. 179, excuse me, right in front of me. I was playing with the Falcons now, but the years he had on the Browns were great. All-decade team from 2010s. Three-time Pac-12 All-American, or Pac-12 first team. Three-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler. So, he's – and Cal Berkeley, got to shout that out because my cousin Darius will want me to shout out Cal Berkeley. So, yeah, shout out Cal Berkeley, Golden Bears. But, yeah, Alex Mack. I got Alex Mack.
That's a good pick. That's a great pick. I'm going to go ahead and take my center. I'm going to take Art Hunter, who was with the Browns from 1956 to 1959, a very short period. He was drafted the third pick overall out of Notre Dame in 1954 to the Green Bay Packers, played off the tackle. Once Paul Brown got his hands on him, moved him to center, and this is the guy that led the way for that epic, legendary Jim Brown attack.
Okay, that's a good pick. That's an undervalued.
Kind of
undervalued. Well, I mean, it's not as good as Alex Mack.
No, it's not. I really thought I was going to get Mack.
All right, this next pick might surprise some people too, but, oh well. My next pick is a current Browns player, Nick Chubb.
What? Oh, so you're going to go two running backs?
Yeah, I go two running backs.
That's pretty old school within itself.
Yeah, see, I went old school vibes, but new players. Nick Chubb and Jim Brown running behind Joe Thomas and Alex Mack. And Ozzie Newsome, who can block. And I'm still building my O-line right now, but, I got Baker Mayfield on the play action passes too. He has Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt now, and he's got Jim Brown and Nick Chubb. So I'm trying to build kind of what I'm trying. And I want Stefanski as my coach.
That's funny because I have my team basically etched out like Stefanski would be my coach too. That's an interesting pick. I'm going to go ahead and take a running back too. I'm going to take Greg Pruitt. There's a lot of good options here. I could have taken Leroy Kelly, who's also in the NFL Hall of Fame. I could have taken Marion Motley, the running back also in the realm of Jim Brown, has a belt full of championships. I could have went with Ernie Davis. There are a lot of options here. I'm going to go with Greg Pruitt, someone who's newer, played with the Browns from 1973 to 1981, actually won a Super Bowl with the Raiders after he left Cleveland. Went to the Pro Bowl five times, someone with a little speed. Was a lot of people remember him for how him being electric at Oklahoma. I believe he was – he might not have been the first. Bill would have a better answer for this, but he was one of the first African-American or black All-Americans at Oklahoma. But the dude's an absolute stud, and I'm going to go with Greg Pruitt as my running back.
That's a really good pick. And, yeah, he was – I don't know if he was the first, like you said. Bill would definitely know that.
I know it was way back in the day, back when they were having the Big Eight and the SEC were having racial issues. So
I just know he finished runner up in the Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
Yeah. I do know that because I had to remember all the runner ups in the Heisman Trophy for this trivia thing one time. So, but all right, I'm gonna go with. Hold on 1 second. This is tough now. And now we're getting kind of. Have you picked? No, I don't think you picked him yet. All right, I'm going to go. I got to go with a wide receiver. I haven't picked one quite yet, I don't think.
There's a couple wide receivers that are still on the board that I really like that I was kind of surprised they're still there, even in this two-person draft.
I'm going to take – this is a weird kind of wide receiver to take. But it's okay because I'm going to take him for my value here. Josh Cribbs.
I looked at Josh Cribbs too. But the problem with Josh Cribbs is that we remember him and we remember his highlights. But when he had that one season as just a full-on wide receiver, it was not – he was okay, but he was – there are – if you look back, I think there are other – he was on my list. I just think that there's other options.
There is for sure. Hey, beast at Kent State. I know you love some action.
So. Yeah, no, he's a badass. I haven't written down on my list. I just felt like that was me being. I feel like this list is already pretty biased for me, and I'm okay with that. But that would have been really biased.
Yeah, no, I mean he's going to give me field position. I want a short field. I want to run the clock out a lot. I want a short field to do that with and still be able to score points. So I go to Josh Cribbs. He's one of the best kick returners of all time. He was on the All-Decade team too.
Plus, if you go power with Jim Brown, you got the speed with Josh Cribbs.
Yeah, and then Nick Chubb, too, kind of balanced more so.
That's right. I dig it.
Yeah, all right, that's what I'm going.
So I'm going to go ahead and take another homer pick, Abe Gibron, a guard from Valparaiso. It's a Valparaiso University. He actually transferred out of his freshman year to go to Purdue. That's who I'm going to take as my interior offensive lineman. Actually – oh, you know what?
Oh.
Can I change my pick?
Yeah. Not too late.
Give me Joel Bitonio.
Oh, damn it.
I'm going to take Joel Bitonio.
I want Joel Bitonio.
Yeah, I'm going to take Joel Bitonio. Already a three-time All-Pro. The other pick was too biased, bro. I can't take a dude from Valpo just because he's from Valpo.
Yeah, is he the best Valpo player of all time?
Fuzzy Thurston, bro. Fuzzy Thurston won a Super Bowl.
Oh crap! And then Josh Kuechly.
That's right. That's exactly. Those are the rankings. Fuzzy Thurston, Super Bowl champion. Abe Gibron, who played for the Browns, who I just learned his name like 3 days ago. And then Josh Kuechly. Those are actually the rankings. You nailed it.
That's fair. That's fair. Totally right. Oh man, let's see here.
Do I need to give an explanation for Bitonio? Already a three-time All-Pro.
No,
was drafted in 2014. I mean, I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's pretty. Self-explanatory. I don't think you need to. I'm trying to look at my guys and see. Okay, I know. I need another offensive tackle.
Yeah, actually, you do. There's one guy out there that I wrote down.
Well, and I never watched this guy play, but I was just looking at his numbers and stats and his what he did in his career. And Mike McCormack.
Boom.
Off of the tackle. Okay, yeah. I just saw he was a two-time champion, a nine-time All-Pro.
Yep.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Pro Bowler. He's in the Carolina Panthers and Browns Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
That's why he's a GM for the Panthers. So.
You went about it a different way than me, but we came to the same conclusion, right? Neither one of us have seen this guy play. He played from 1954 to 62, right? But what I liked, I like to go back and look at like quotes from the time. Full transparency. If anybody expects Donovan and I to go back and watch a film from the 1950s, you're utterly insane. But it's pretty cool looking at like these quotes. Like Paul Brown has a quote where he says that McCormick is the best tackle he's ever seen, which is talking about a guy who's been involved with every level of football and has been around championship football teams. So even back then, that's pretty darn impressive. I mean, this is a guy who at the time was a very large individual. And they said he clocked in at 4'8". I mean, that's pretty unheard of for the era.
Yeah, that's
right?
insane.
So it's pretty cool, you know, when you read all these quotes about people talk about how awesome he is, how athletic he was, how strong he was, how intelligent he was. So, and again, he blocked for Jim Brown, was a part of that legendary offense. Jim Brown gets a lot of credit, as he should, but there was a lot of talent in front of him. And Mike McCormick was one of those guys. I think he was even a high draft pick, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was he was a third rounder, which back then was the 34th
pick
overall.
That's like a first rounder or a second rounder, yeah. So like a second rounder, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So good pick. I like that. That was going to be my offensive tackle.
Sorry, my allergies are killing me, by the way. So if it looks like I'm crying, it's not because Josh is such a good podcast host. No, dude, my allergies in Chattanooga have been like insane. Like I don't know what's going on up here, but it's like different. Like this place is.
I was going to say it was all those Southerners, but you come from Georgia, so maybe you're coming up too north. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm going up north towards your way, dude. I don't know. The Chattanooga's like a bowl, and it's like, you know, like it's the mountains. It's like the Smoky Rocky Mountains. Not Rocky, but Smoky Mountains. And dude, the allergies here, like yesterday I was like literally driving. Sorry, side note. Listening to the Killers crying in my car. I bet like the girl that looked next to me was like, what the hell? Is this guy's really feeling like
emotional about
Mr. Brightside right now. I'm like,
I love that you're listening to the Killers.
Oh,
of
yeah,
I listen to the Killers too.
I love the Killers, man. It's one of my favorite bands. Listen to Sam's Town, great album. Every time I go to Vegas, because that's where they're from, that's what I rock to. Are they
really?
Yeah, they're from Vegas, man.
Hmm.
Yeah. And Panic at the Disco, I listen to both of those. They're both from Vegas, so
pretty dope.
But the Killers are good, but yeah, anyway. Okay, Mike McCormack is the pick.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and take another guard. Joe DeLamalure played for the Browns from 1980 to 1984. Most people remember him as an integral part of the Electric Company, which led the way for O.J. Simpson before he was at the Browns. Still was in the Cleveland Browns Ring of Honor, I believe. Was a 6-time Pro Bowler, 8-time All-Pro. The awesome part about Joe DeLamalure is that when he retired, he played arena football like 10 years after he retired. Like, I'm exaggerating, but he retired and then came back to play for like the Charlotte Rage and the Arena football team for like, you know, a weird amount of time after he retired, maybe like 4 or 5 years. So it's kind of cool. Great player, also a Michigan State legend. So I feel like the interior of my offensive line is stacked, homie.
What's his name? What's this guy?
Joe DeLamalure.
DeLamalure? I've never
heard
of him in my life.
He was actually at the Tuttle Crossing Mall with the good people that we work with at Playboy Inc., Kevin and the boys. He was supposed to be signing autographs before the COVID situation hit. I was all ready to rock and roll with Michigan State helmet to get signed before it happened. I was looking my hardest to find a Charlotte Rage helmet. He was a guy that was very involved after he retired with the NFLPA and all that. I think he was just borderline. Basically, he's just a guy that just basically gets bored when he's after he got retired. But yeah, he's a very, from my understanding, he's a very cool guy. That's what Kevin and all of them tell me.
And he plays guard.
He played guard. He was drafted by the Buffalo Bills in 1973 and was basically the headlining act for the Electric Company, which led the way for O.J. Simpson. And then he was at the Browns kind of in the pinnacle of his career. So by then, he only went to the Pro Bowl once and was only an All-Pro. I think he was an All-Pro twice, or maybe I have it the opposite way around. But I'm looking it up now, too. 7 years after he retired, he played for the Charlotte Rage in 1992 of the Arena Football League, which I think is just so funny.
The Charlotte Rage. I kind of like that team name. But
right now, it's dope. I just think it's funny that, you know, because you've seen Arena Football games. There's not like NFL Hall of Famers come play for Arena Football Leagues very often, and that's one.
Yeah, that's random. Just because that's awesome, too.
Like I said, he is still very much in the game. He does public signings all the time. Okay. If it wasn't for COVID, he would have been in Columbus a couple months ago.
Well, hopefully things are opening back a lot. So hopefully we get that back. But man, it was hard to not go with another running back. Now I see what you mean by all the running backs. Like,
there's a lot.
Yeah, there's so many, but I can't go. I don't need another running back. Literally, I have two running backs already. I can't. I mean, you can never have enough running back, I guess.
What positions do you have left? Because I only have two positions left.
I got some linemen left, but right now I'm going to go with a kicker, Phil Dawson.
No, you're not drafting. We're not drafting kickers.
I'm drafting a kicker because
there's only 11 rounds. How many dudes do you have?
Well, yeah, there's 11.
You have to have two positions left.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Right. Because you have
two running backs.
So okay, so let's
review. All right, I'm only gonna go with four linemen.
No. Okay. So let's review our roster. So quarterback, I got Otto Graham. You have Baker. Running backs, you have Jim Brown. I have Greg Pruitt.
Yeah, I can go one receiver though, right? Or do I have to go two receivers? Sorry about that.
I don't care. I don't care how you do it. You just gotta have 11 guys. You can go whatever, but you should have five linemen, right?
I won't go with Phil Dawson. I won't go with Phil Dawson. All right, I'm gonna go with John Greco instead.
John Greco?
Yeah.
He's gonna be your guard.
Yeah, dude. He's gonna be my
dude. Guard. You can have Abe Gibron, bro.
I want John Greco. All right,
you do you, man.
I like
you do
that. You. John Greco. What's wrong with John Greco?
He's no Abe Gibron. He's no Valparaiso graduate.
Which yeah, I guess yeah, yeah.
Gibron's transferred,
but I like John Greco. I think three-time All Mac guy. You know,
Ryan Ring just commented. He's talking about us going. Our roster's going 6-10. I got to respond to him. Say suck it.
My roster's not going 6-10. I'm sorry. You lack a little team speed.
I lack team speed. No, quit.
Yeah, all your players are like old. I mean, like besides.
What are you talking about,
dude? I have Josh Cribbs, Nick Chubb, and Jim Brown.
I got Greg Pruitt and Otto Graham. Otto Graham could wiggle. He played basketball.
That's true.
That's what he was known for, was that his little, spinny move.
The John Greco I'm going – I just really liked John Greco.
Paul Warfield was fast, too.
No, Paul Warfield was fast. I just really liked John Greco, so I'm going with John Greco. I don't care what anyone says. I like – he's Ohio. He's Youngstown. He's
Toledo.
He's Ohio.
I'm just giving you a hard time. It's not a bad thing. I love John Greco.
I feel like John Greco is kind of like a mini, like, hometown legend for y'all up there, right?
For sure.
Even though he's not in the Ring of Honor and he's not Hall of Fame, he never made a Pro Bowl or anything, but he's a good player. He played with Alex Mack and Joe Thomas.
Could also go with Joe Andruzzi.
Andruzzi too. They have that continuity. I think he's gotten some ACL injuries. You know he had, but we're not doing all that. So like, yeah.
I'm upset that you think my team is slow. I wish I had the 40 time for Dub Jones from the 50s. Damn it.
Your team's not slow. It's just compared.
But they were all in time.
Compared to mine, I mean your team is slow, dude.
All right, I'm gonna take. I'm gonna take my tight end, and this was another. I was really upset you took Ozzie.
He's gonna pick Njoku now. That's it.
No, dude, I'm gonna take because I need a speed. I'm gonna take Milt Morin, who played for the Cleveland Browns from 1966 tonight. I have no idea. I'm full transparency. I've never seen Milt Morin play, but I know he was with the Cleveland Browns from 1966 to 1975. He was a 2-time Pro Bowl, and this is my favorite fact about good old Mitt. He may be the worst negotiator of all time because when he got picked up by the Browns. He went to Art Modell's office. Art Modell said, "What was your major?" He said, "Education." He said, "How much would you be making as a teacher?" $6,000. Art Modell said, "We're going to pay you $6,000." That to me is the.
Art Modell's a snake, dude.
Hell yeah, he is.
So, rest in peace, but whatever.
But Milt Moore probably is one of the few tight ends that has some Pro Bowls underneath his belt in Browns history. So I feel like it's probably a good pick, even though. I know very little about him.
Okay. All right. I got my pick. All right. Dang, man. I really don't want to make this pick because he's not a great Browns player yet, but he's on the Browns and he's a great player. Odell Beckham.
That counts. That's your pick?
Yeah, that's my pick.
Are you done taking wide receivers?
Yeah, I'm done with receivers because like Odell Beckham and Josh Cribbs is enough. And if I don't, Odell Beckham's probably gonna get hurt. Whatever, I'll just run the ball. I'll throw to Nick Chubb.
I think that's a good all pick. I'm surprised that you didn't pick Jarvis Landry. That would have probably been my next pick, just because of he's been a Brown. He's had some accomplishments as a Brown. Odell Beckham is obviously the better wide receiver. If we're looking at just overall talent, he's probably one of the most talented wide receivers in Browns history. But he hasn't had that talent in Cleveland, if that makes sense. It'd be like saying O.J. Simpson is the best running back in San Francisco 49ers history. That's probably, you know what I mean? Like, well, I don't know. Yeah. So I think Jarvis Landry would have been a good pick. Gary Collins was also a good pick. That's a guy who was a two-time Pro Bowler and was a key receiver in the offense from 1960 in the late 60s. You know, someone that even you grow up as a Browns fan, even you recognize that name. I feel like that's probably where I would have gone. But OBJ, it's hard to argue against that.
You know, Ranker. No, you're right. Ranker.com has Odell Beckham ranked higher than Milt Morton.
For the Browns?
Yeah.
I need a tight end.
Plus, saying. No, you're right, though. But their rankings are kind of off.
I have to go back. I have to go back and look because I haven't looked at it in a while.
Ranker, I mean, their rankings are. I mean, they're pretty good. But
when Morin moved from tight end though, he was one of the tight ends back in the day. It's him and my next pick. I'll go ahead and take my next pick too. Second tight end. I'm gonna take Pete Brewster, who was also a tight end in 1952 to 1958. Made two Pro Bowls. But both him and Morin, when they were done playing tight end, when Paul Brown said that they sucked, they just moved him to inside linebacker, which I think is such a cool thing to do.
That is pretty cool. I need another. Oh, yeah. Okay, no. Sorry. I'm thinking out loud. That is pretty cool. Just moving to inside linebacker. That's like some high school football stuff.
Yeah, no shit. That's right. That dope.
I don't think you picked this. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't pick him. Doug.
That's it. My team's done, dude.
Doug Dyken.
Doug Deacon, dude. Doug Deacon's the play-by-play announcer right now.
Yeah, Doug Deacon, not Dyken. I thought it was Dyken. I really tried so hard to not say Dyken, but it is Dyken. It's Deacon, not Dyken.
Hey, listen, no one's going to butcher a name worse than I butchered Victor Dimukeji.
Whatever. The Duke
from Duke last week.
Yeah. All right, Doug Dyken. Deacon. Doug Deacon. He played for the Browns every year of his career. I did not know that.
Yeah. He's like a Cleveland legend. He does the radio for him.
Yeah, I know he does the radio. That's kind of what I know him for. I didn't even know he was that good of a player. Honestly. Pro bowler. You know, he only made the Pro Bowl once, but he's in the Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't really know, like, as far as, like, his accolades. I know that there's a series of linemen back in that era. You know, Dan Fike was one of them.
He only made the Pro Bowl once, but he also was an Iron Man. He played every game. And see, I have Joe Thomas. He played every game. I got Alex Mack. I got McCormack. I got Deacon. These guys don't miss games. And I just want productivity and longevity. That's what I got. I'm happy about this team. John Greco is my only bugaboo. You know, he kind of doesn't fit with the other guys.
I'm looking at my roster, and I have, like, one dude that's played in the last 50 years.
I know.
Should we have put a time limit on here?
No, you chose those players. No one asked you to pick Lou Groza over Jim Brown or you know – Paul Warfield over Josh Cribbs or Jarvis Landry. You did that. So
I'm comfortable with it. We'll put it up on Twitter. We'll put it up on Facebook. Have people vote. Go at it. Ryan Ring is still making sarcastic comments about why we didn't take Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell, Braylon Edwards, Dwayne Bowe. You know, there's a lot of Browns players.
Bowe. Who is this guy commenting?
Dude, there's so many Browns players that I absolutely love that were not good. Travis Prentice being one of them. Gerard Warren being one of them. You know, the list goes on and on. I've got, you know, was it James Jackson, the running back from Florida? I think I have like one of his action figures. He was supposed to be good. You know, LaCharles Bentley, he didn't even play a snap for the Cleveland Browns. He was a big free agent signing. Jeff Garcia, everybody in Cleveland was excited about that signing. He ended up sucking.
Garcia.
Dude, I mean, the list goes...
Speaking of Garcia, he's on our bracket tonight, actually, is one of the seeds.
Oh, yeah, I bought his jersey for $5 one day.
Did you?
Yeah, wow. A long time ago.
Wow, $5.
$5. Yeah, okay, so let's recap. So your quarterback is Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
My quarterback is NFL Hall of Famer Otto Graham.
All right, you win that one.
Okay. Your running back is Jim Brown, NFL Hall of Famer Jim Brown.
Yes.
Mine's Greg Pruitt. You win that one. Okay. Yes. My receivers are Paul Warfield, Hall of Famer, Dub Jones, Milmore, and Pete Brewster.
I have Nick Chubb as my alternate kind of guest guy. Ozzie Newsome, OBJ, and Josh Cribbs.
That might be a tie.
No way.
What do you mean?
No way.
You know, but because Paul Warfield is a Hall of Famer, so him and Ozzie Newsome axe each other out. And Dub Jones invented the position. He was the first wide receiver.
Okay, that's true, but is that better than Odell Beckham?
There has to be something there. Has to be some street cred. All
right, him and Odell Beckham were squashed, then that's even.
All right, fine. You win.
You got me on the line, I think, though.
I think so. Joe Batonio, Joe DeLamalore, Lou Groza, Dick Shafrath, and Art Hunter, which, by the way, I have autographs of. I have autographs of four of those five.
That's a good line. Mine is Joe Thomas. It's
fantastic.
Joe Thomas and Doug Deacon. John Greco, Mike McCormack, and Alex Mack. So, I mean, it's pretty close.
There's some good pick. Yeah, it is close.
Yeah. It's close. I think I don't know, man. I got Joe Thomas, so I think I win. He's better than all your linemen. Like
who? Joe Thomas?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Joe Thomas is the best offensive. Yeah, that's the best offensive.
Hey, I got the best left offensive tackle in Browns history. The best center in Browns history.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But the other rest is a wash because I don't know John Greco pick. So whoever made fun of that pick is funny because I was like, I know someone's gonna hate this pick. John Greco. I just love John Greco, dude. His name's John Greco.
Ryan commented, he said, Don James got the modern team.
The modern team?
Yeah, dude, my team's too old. I'm going to lose. We're going to put this up for vote. I'm a goddamn lose because all my players are goddamn.
Well, if we put it up right now, I'll win because it's like 10 o'clock at night. But if we put it up like tomorrow at noon, you might win because some of your followers.
If we put the check, like if we print it out and put it at like Golden Corral or something.
Yeah. No, I mean, I mean, I have Jim Brown. I have Ozzie Newsome. He's old. And I have Mike McCormack. I never even saw Mike. I mean, I've seen Jim Brown and Ozzie Newsome.
The highlights,
Never seen
Mike McCormack. Well, then technically you've seen Mike McCormack because they played there at the same time.
Yeah,
that's true. The thing, too, is we remember those highlights. We've seen all these players play, but we've seen them in highlights where we're focusing on Otto Graham or Jim Brown, which is really funny.
Deacon, I've never – I mean, I've seen highlights of him probably in passing, but I've never been put on some Daikin tape.
The Browns had a very there was about a 20-year period where I would say in the 70s and 80s where there was always guys that were very solid players. You know, Kevin Mack, Ernest Biner, Doug Deacon, Dan Fike. I'm trying to think of. A couple defensive linemen like Jerry Ball or Michael Dean Perry, these guys that Cleveland fans recognize. Maybe if you talk about the grand scheme of football in general, they didn't really make the mark. I would compare it to like when we're talking about Ohio State football and we talk about guys like Jalen Marshall or Cardale Jones. Most people don't remember those guys, but Buckeye fans do. That's kind of like what Dick Deacon is in a lot. The Browns had a good run where they were very good, and some of those guys kind of stuck there.
Yeah, I can see that.
Ryan's got jokes, dude.
What is he saying?
He's like, I think we got some recency bias here with Don James Sports, a lot of gambles. He said, Josh Keatley is trending with the 70-plus males.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's right. I wonder, will we get our defenses next week? We'll kind of see, like, because I already know what I want my defense to look like.
I know you said Miles Garrett.
Yeah, and our former guest, TJ Ward, might be in the discussion, too.
Yeah, he will be.
See, yeah.
He will be in the discussion.
I remember playing with him in Madden. He'd always get up to 99, TJ Ward. Like, you know how those players just magically get up to 99?
Oh, yeah.
He was one of them. He'd always get up to 99. It doesn't matter what. I literally would wait till he got up to 99 and then trade him. Sorry, TJ. trade him for, like, draft capital or, King's like, ransom. Better players, yeah. With not many players better than TJ Ward in his prime, though. I'm just saying. He was really good. But, yeah, all right. I don't know if we're finished or – or is Ryan still making jokes? Or... I like this guy.
Ryan. I like that. That's what we're basing the podcast on. Hey, is this over or is Ryan still making
jokes? No, not over. I just wanted to go to the quarterback stuff if not.
Let's rock and roll on the quarterback stuff. Okay. We'll tweet out these rosters, get a vote, and then we'll move on to our defensive team. I think you did win, though.
I think so. But
if it wasn't for Baker Mayfield, if you would have slid in, here's the thing, though. My roster is too old. Your roster is perfect, but you should have slid in Bernie Kosar or Brian Sipe at quarterback, and then you should have found Joe DeLaMalier is not too old. You could have slid him in at guard instead of John Greco.
John Greco.
Yeah. Other than that, your roster would have it's going to smash mine as far as voting goes.
Browns fans love Baker Mayfield, though.
Browns fans love Bernie Kosar more.
Really?
Bernie Kosar? Yeah, dude. He's a national treasure. Have you met Bernie Kosar?
No, but I've known people that met him that everyone loves that guy.
He's
so
the
much.
Coolest dude in the world. Yeah.
I met Baker. If that makes you feel any better. He's cool too, but he's kind of like too cool. Like he's not like he's almost like you can't have a beer with like Baker Mayfield at the bar. Like you might be able to, but probably not.
Dude, Bernie Kosar.
Bernie is like at the bars in ball. Isn't he like at the bars in Cleveland still, like hanging out like all the time? That's what I've heard.
I don't know. I've only met him in Columbus at a couple events.
Okay,
but he's always very talkative, super nice. He was actually involved with the Tampa Bay Vipers front office of the XFL too. So he loves football. He's just a football fan, and you can feel it when you talk to him. You can feel it when you're on his social media, all that stuff.
I think Baker's gonna be better than Bernie. I don't know. I mean, Bernie's great, though. Oh, it's Milt Plum I could have went with, or Vinny Testaverde. He was
Milt Plum would have been a good one because he led the NFL in passing. Was very good. Vinny Testaverde, I don't I don't think that he's in the discussion.
Okay.
He was basically the dude that took over for Bernie because Belichick hated Bernie. I don't know if there's necessarily – I don't really know. But maybe I'm wrong. Convince me. I don't know. I just don't remember his career being – I remember him being a journeyman.
Vinny?
And I remember him being really good at Miami, and I remember him having a very above-average NFL career but not anything good. I remember him being very similar to – his career trajectory being very similar to that of Jeff George.
Yeah, pretty much. And because he made the Pro Bowl a couple times, and he had a really, like, couple good – he had some great, like, top five, top 10 quarterback years, but, like, the rest were just, like, Fitzpatrick. Like, or Jeff George or whatever, you know, type of deal. And journeyman. He played for, like, 8 different teams, I think. Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Bernie Kosar was a Cleveland. When Belichick got rid of him, he went to the Dolphins and the Cowboys, and that was kind of the end of his career. That was the, you know, the sadness. Vinny Testaverde was bouncing around in his prime, very much like, Kent Graham. Of course,
Vinny Testaverde is in the Italian Sports Hall of Fame and the Florida Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, he's probably in the college. He's probably in the college football Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, in the college football. Well,
he did it. He won a Heisman. I know Gina Toretta did, but I didn't know Vinny Testaverde did.
Yeah, Vinny won the Heisman '86, dude.
Yeah. See, I get those Miami quarterbacks mixed up because Toretta won it too.
Yeah, Gino
didn't do shit. Even worse on NFL career.
He was Italian. He's in the Italian Hall of Fame. I don't know if he actually is, but he should be.
He's not even Italian. He's like, you're pronouncing the name wrong. He's from Zimbabwe or some shit.
Zimbabwe, yeah. Exactly where he's from. All right, so the quarterback, this is Group A. Group A.
Okay. Can I ask, how did you come up with these 32? Did you just...
I asked people around, and I went to a lot of different websites. There was like 8 or 9 different references I have, and I made a list, kind of composite list, like added all those numbers up of the top ranked quarterbacks and went through there and added them all up. Kind of like 247 does with their high school scores. They add rivals and all these different websites and just add the numbers together and kind of see where it goes from there. Cause I haven't watched every quarterback. So how
did you come up with the seeds?
That's how I came up with it.
That's how you came up with the seeds as well. Okay. Yeah, so I didn't know if it was random.
Autogram was like consensus number one on every, like all the websites I went to. So he was
one
seed. Yeah. So he's the group A number one seed. The 32nd quarterback was Deshaun Kizer. So it's Autogram versus Deshaun Kizer in the first round. That's the first round pick.
It's Autogram versus Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah, but you got, this is March Madness. It's like the 16 seed versus the one seed. Like, we know who's gonna win. Like, you know, like,
so
I think a 16, seeds won once.
That some website had Deshaun Kizer ranked as the 32nd best quarterback in NFL history or in the Cleveland Browns history.
He actually, let's see, on this website. I'm looking at his 33rd. He's 33rd on one. He's 51 on another one.
That makes more sense.
He's 27 on another one. I don't have them all in front of me. He's 27 because he's in between Trent Dilfer and Mike Tomczak.
Jesus Christ. Mike Tomczak's on that list?
Mike Tomczak's 28.
Wow. I'm a Buckeye fan, and Mike Tomczak was here for like what, a blink of an eye?
That's what I'm saying. Once you get past like the top 10 Browns quarterbacks, it's like
It's booty. It's straight. That's why I took Autogram first, dude. It's straight.
There's a list where Brady Quinn's number 24 of all time Browns quarterbacks, and there's a list where he's 53, behind Deshaun Kizer, which is kind of crazy. I think Quinn was a little bit better than Deshaun Kizer.
I would agree,
because he only had 12 touchdown passes. Jesus Christ, that's horrible. Ever his whole career, he only had 12 touchdowns. But anyway. That's the number. Let's see what Kizer had real fast. I don't want to move on too quickly. Kizer, Deshaun, he's from Ohio, of course, Toledo, another Toledo guy, Central Catholic High School. He had 11 touchdown passes, so one less than Brady Quinn. He had 3,000 passing yards, same as Brady Quinn. Completion percentage, 53. Brady Quinn's 54. So yeah.
Wait a second. We're comparing Deshaun Kizer to Brady Quinn. Tell us what the poll is, because you said it's four. So because it's not really Autogram versus Deshaun
Quinn.
Kizer.
Quinn is a 4C4 too for a later day. That's what I'm just saying. So people can kind of get a feel for like who's going to be a 4C, who's going to be a 1. And then think of it like March Madness. You got Duke versus Quinnipiac or whatever. Like
right.
So yeah.
Quinnipiac.
I don't know, man. I just made up a school.
I have no idea.
Or Valpacero. You guys are good at basketball, though, dude. Valpo.
I know it.
What's that kid that went there? Bryce Drew.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. If you're a football, if you're a high school football player, don't go to a basketball school because when you go to the parties, no one's gonna care.
Oh yeah, dude, that's a big basketball. Okay, so Autogram versus
salty,
still salty, and then number 2 versus 3 is Kelly Holcomb versus Jeff Garcia. Which is
Now remember, you're not releasing this as it's when you release the poll, it's all four against each other, right?
Yeah, but there's gonna be I'm gonna pick the top two winners. They're gonna advance just like it does the soccer group.
Oh,
does.
Really?
Yeah,
so, but it's the top two out of Autogram, Deshaun Kizer, Kelly Holcomb, Jeff Garcia.
Yes.
Okay.
Who do you think's gonna win? Well, obviously Autogram. I'm saying, but who's going to be the second one? Obviously, I know Graham's going to win, but who's going to be the second quarterback? Garcia or Holcomb?
It's hard.
Because it's not going to be Deshaun Kizer.
It's hard if you look at what they did in Cleveland or what they did in their career. Because Jeff Garcia, it's very much the Paul Warfield argument, right? In order for me to take Paul Warfield as an all-time Cleveland Browns wide receiver, I have to factor in what he did in Miami. If you factor in what Jeff Garcia did his entire career, and that counts in San Francisco, that counts in Philadelphia, then it's very much Jeff Garcia.
Garcia replaced Holcomb too, which is, you know, another thing to look at, I guess.
But that's the question is if but Jeff Garcia did not have the most electric career as a Brown.
Holcomb was better.
And Kelly Holcomb took him to the playoffs. So I don't think Holcomb was better. I'm just saying
that's why I put Holcomb as a 2 seed and Garcia as a 3 seed.
Gun to my head, I guess Jeff Garcia.
I think Holcomb's gonna win. But we'll see. I guess.
I don't know. It's just interesting because Jeff Garcia has accomplished so much more in his career.
That's true. I just think
long was Kelly Holcomb in the NFL? Because Jeff Garcia was only with the Browns for one year in 2004. Year.
Yeah.
How long was Kelly Holcomb there?
Kelly Holcomb was there from 2002 to 2004.
So he was there for 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years. He was with the Colts first as Peyton Manning's backup, and then he went to Buffalo.
It's gonna be really hard because Kelly Holcomb sucked. Jeff Garcia was the more talented quarterback, but Kelly Holcomb was the better Cleveland Brown.
Do you remember Holcomb played for the Barcelona Dragons? I used to watch the World League.
Holcomb played for the Barcelona Dragons?
Yeah, man.
No way.
That's where he started his career.
No way.
NFL Europe, yeah.
Was it oh my God.
NFL Europe. I loved NFL Europe, dude, because they had NFL Europe on Madden. Do you remember that?
Of course I do.
I used to always play the Barcelona Dragons or the Rain Fire.
Well, you know, so
and then Claymore.
You know that's not when he played in 19 he played in 1994 or 5, right? Because he was in the NFL for a long time.
I'm not sure what years he played in.
It had to be before then. Back in them days, it was the World League of American Football. It was not NFL Europe. Back in those days, the World League of American Football had teams like they still had the NFL teams like the Barcelona Dragons, the London Monarchs, which is where the Garrett brothers played before the one became a coach. But they also had American teams like Ohio Glory. And then I think there was like a San Antonio team. There was a couple other teams that were in America as well. The Raleigh-Durham Skyhawks was one of them. But there was teams in America as well. And then in 1999, 1998, you'd have to double check. No, it was probably sooner than that. I don't know. Let's look it up. But eventually the NFL Europe was created because they're like, well, we don't need these. Let's just send it all over to Europe to try to get the European fan base. So that's when NFL – so it was World League of American Football, and then it was NFL Europe, and they just carried over a lot of the same teams. So let's see here. I don't know. Let's see here. This makes for great radio, by the way.
Yes.
In 1998, the NFL Europe was what was announced. And so they still kept all the European teams, but there was no more American teams. So it was technically a different league. That's when Adam Vinatieri and Kurt Warner both played for the Amsterdam Admirals, along with that white wide receiver for the Packers. I can't remember his name, but he played with the Packers for like 80 years. Schroeder, I think his name was.
Who was that played for the Packers? Who did you say?
He was some big white wide receiver. He played for the Packers and the Lions for forever. He wasn't good, but he was in the NFL for forever. Schroeder, I think his name was.
Schroeder,
yeah. Yep, that sounds right. He was on the same team as Kurt Warner and Adam Vinatieri, which was like the most dominant NFL Europe team.
Oh, it's going to piss me off. I don't know his name. Is it
Brent? But yeah, the NFL Europe.
Bill Schroeder.
There you go. Yep, yeah. There you go. And the NFL Europe teams were dope too, because like you said, the jerseys were cool. The logos were. Yeah, the Rhine Fire, which is where Terry Crews played for the Rhine Fire.
I like the Claymores too. They were dope.
The Scottish Claymores. Yeah. I'm trying to think of who played for. I can't remember who played for them. Akili Smith played for, and Alex Van Pelt coached Akili Smith, was the offensive coordinator for them with the Frankfurt Galaxy. They always had a dope stadium. There was a couple studs, like guys that were like really badasses in college that couldn't quite make it that went over to Europe. I can't, you know, Pepe Pearson from Ohio State played for the Rhine Fire. I can't remember who else. I don't think Tommy Maddox is over there.
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
Yeah, I think I'm confused with the XFL because Tommy Maddox is in the XFL.
Yeah, I'm not sure which play. I mean, I watched it, but I'm not positive. We were so young when that was.
I got the football cards though, dude. You can get those World League of American football cards for cheap. You get the Garrett brothers.
John Kitna played an MVP. He was MVP over there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But do you remember the Garrett brothers? Jason and what's his brother's name? Judd? Jason. Something stupid.
Some Texas name. Yeah.
Yeah. But they both went to Princeton, right?
Yep. They did.
Yeah. They both played for some stupid World League of American football team.
Oh, man. I'm looking at Jake Del Holmes. Get over there, too.
Uh-huh. All right, we're making for great radio now. We should probably shut it down. Do you have anything that you want to add?
No, man. I'm going to put this up. Otto Graham versus Deshaun Kaiser.
Oh, Jeff yeah. Garcia
versus Kelly Holcomb. Go vote. Like, share, follow all of our stuff on Browns Wire. Shout out to Josh for getting the gig.
Did I announce that on this podcast?
Oh well, I just did for you. My bad.
I don't know. Did I say at the beginning? I don't remember.
No,
if I
said
at the
you beginning said it like pre-show, but I don't think.
Did I? I get our pre-show conversations and our show conversations.
I've been drinking
one together so some, bad
whiskey tonight. So
no, I meant to say it. Yeah, you can follow me now on Buckeyes Wire, Donovan. I don't think we brought it up yet on the show. I think it was a pre-show conversation, but yeah, I will be writing for Buckeyes Wire. We're gonna get a podcast start on that. That network, I'm very excited. I already got my first article out about Brian Snead and how he, the former Ohio State transfer, had dominated for Austin Peay last week in the Ohio Valley Conference, broke the FCS record for most rushing yards in the first in one quarter. Then I wrote my second piece today about the Jalen Pace preferred walk-on. Orlando Pace's son has announced his commitment to Ohio State as a preferred walk-on. So look for my stuff on there, man. I'm very excited. You know me, I love talking Ohio State football. So. That's half the reason why I know that crap about the World League and NFL Europe because I'm chasing those cards. So, you can follow me on Twitter at JoshKeely16. Please give us a like, listen, and review. That's how we get noticed. Donovan, where can they follow you at? What you got going on?
I finally put my hat on here, so it's at JohnJSports.
Hell yeah.
It's the same. Follow me on Twitter. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good night. Appreciate it. Good
night. You're out.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a nature show host.
In the native habitat of a suburban driveway, the poor victim of a broken windshield is left assessing his vehicle, utterly helpless.
Well, not true. If he's got Geico, he can file a claim online, over the phone, or with his handy mobile app.
But like a lone gazelle, he'll suddenly be left to fend for himself, awaiting his terrible fate.
Nope. Geico will assign him a designated claims team to help him out, too.
So the gazelle gets his car fixed and everything.
Wow. Nature is so cool.
Geico. Great service without all the drama.
And now the weather. Expect partly cloudy skies with an excellent chance of maximum refunds. Wait, that can't be right.
Oh, but it is.
Who are you?
I'm April. And we could see refunds raining down all tax season with people switching to TaxAct.
TaxAct?
The tax filing software that makes it easy to file for less and get more.
New forecast. It's sunny days ahead for everyone using TaxAct.
Always happy to brighten your day. TaxAct. Switch to TaxAct today and start for free.
See TaxAct.com for details.